This hearing of the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:30 p.m. Thursday, February 29th in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Chair Dunbar. We also have Senator Jesse Keel in the audience. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I'd like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Joseph Giesbrecht from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. We have three items of business on our agenda. First, an introductory hearing and invited and public testimony on Senate Bill 242 Property Assessment by Senator Jesse Keel. Second, final discussion and looking to the will of committee on SB 236 Grants to Disaster Victims, also by Senator Keel. And last, we will take up Senate Bill 161 by Senator Bjorkman, we will consider as a committee substitute, have discussion, and look to the will of the committee. Do any committee members have questions before we begin? Okay. So we will now move on to Senate Bill 242, Property Assessment, by Senator Keel. This is the first hearing of Senate SB 242. Today is my intention to adopt a Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute, hear a bill introduction, take questions from committee members, and then hold the bill for further consideration. With that, we will begin by taking up a committee substitute for SB 242. This change was requested by the bill sponsor to fix a technical error. Senator Giesel, may I have a motion to adopt a committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 242, version 33LS1141/R, before the committee as our working document.
I will object for the purpose of discussion and invite Senator Keel and Kathy Schlingheide, staff to Senator Keel, to come forward and explain the summary of changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jesse Keel, Senator for District B, and with me is Kathy Schlingheide of my office. Thank you for starting us off clean with a committee substitute. The change retains the definition of full and true value. We had not meant to delete that. In conversations with the drafter, the standards that will be set in regulation or by local ordinance, there was some confusion that those would replace the statutory definition. We want to retain the definition of full and true value, the standards of how you get there.
Okay. Are there any, do you have anything else, Ms. Schlingheide?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions for the bill sponsor? All right, seeing none, I will move my objection to adopting the CS as our working document. Are there further objections? Seeing none, the committee substitute for SB 242 version R has been adopted as our working document. We will now hear an introduction and sectional analysis of the bill from sponsor and his staff. Then we will hear from invited testimony. We have two folks for invited testimony. Have discussion, and then we'll have public testimony. So we should have Nils Andreessen, Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League, available for questions. I think, is he here? Oh, he is, looks like he is online. So he is available for questions. So Senator Keel, would you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Jesse Keel, Senate District B. Senate Bill 242 is a fairness and transparency bill. This is a bill that maintains the important principle of local control in local government, but sets some basic rules of the road and a little bit of balance for property owners who disagree with the tax assessor on what their property is worth. Citizens are entitled to a fair shake and a fair hearing when they disagree with local government. Senate Bill 242 does that in a few ways, each of which serves a distinct but important purpose in making sure that a property owner can be heard. Mr. Chairman, the first is what we discussed just moments ago with the CS. It has the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, where the state assessor sits, set a baseline set of standards for assessors to use. These have to do with how an assessor reaches the determination of full and true value. We retain local control. If a municipality finds that the state assessor's methodologies are not applicable in, for instance, a municipality that doesn't have building codes or has some other important difference. A local government may adopt their own standards that apply to assessment. The most crucial thing, a taxpayer can see what the standards are for how you get to full and true value. The bill also changes the default for who would hear a tax appeal. When a property owner doesn't agree with the assessor, they can't reach an agreement as they sit across the table. As today, the property owner has a right to appeal. Those appeals, by default, in the Alaska statute today, are heard by the local governing body, the city council or the borough assembly. When there is a very large issue, a structural issue with how assessments are working or not working in a municipality, we've found that property owners have a problem because a Board of Equalization sits as a quasi-judicial body. A citizen can't discuss those issues directly with them if it might have bearing on their individual appeal. Thus, property owners lose access to their local officials, their local elected officials, to discuss an important public policy issue. What the bill does is simply flip the default. A municipality that has property taxes appoints a Board of Equalization separate from their local elected body unless they affirmatively decide and pass by ordinance that the local body, elected body, continues to hear the appeals. We wanted to retain that ability. Some municipalities are very small. It's difficult to put together a Board of Equalization with the experienced people. And again, the principle of local control applies. Senate Bill 242 makes a couple of other important changes, one of which is some basic qualifications for tax assessors. This is not a licensure bill, Mr. Chairman, but it does require that a tax assessor either have or work under the supervision of someone who has a Level 3 certification from the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. That has standards that equate to 6 years of experience and some classwork experience and capability with things like different methods of valuation, income, sales, etc. It does not stop someone from getting into the profession and working their way up, but if you only have 2 years experience, you can't hang out a shingle and contract with the municipality to do the whole job yourself. Next change in Senate Bill 242 has to do with when someone exercises their right of appeal. And it's just, to my mind, a fundamental fairness issue about a citizen's right to go before their local government without feeling, I guess, chilled. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean. When I can't agree with the tax assessor and I exercise my right to appeal, the assessor has a legal obligation to tax the property at full and true value. When I exercise my right to appeal, the assessor reliably, in just about every municipality in the state, says, great, you have that right. I'm going to come out. I'm going to take a look at the property. I'm going to ask you to let me in. And then in about half of Alaska's municipalities today, the assessor says one more thing. If I find things that I don't have in my records, your assessed value may go up from the notice of assessment that our local government sent you in the mail. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 242 says that's inappropriate. Local government's bite at the apple is when it sends the taxpayer the notice of assessed valuation. If the taxpayer appeals, I'll get to the one exception in a minute. If the local taxpayer appeals, the government's bite is the high mark. You can argue between what the taxpayer thinks it's worth and what the government said when it got its bite at the apple. Now, certainly if the assessor comes out and finds a detached garage and a couple of apartments that weren't on the records, the next year at the record date, it's possible, in fact, it's extremely likely that those will be reflected in a new valuation. But when you file an appeal, it shouldn't be the right of the government to say, you know what, you owe more than we told you you do. That has a chilling effect on people appealing. The one exception, Mr. Chairman, I will just say is if a taxpayer comes in and says my assessment is too low, you need to value my property at a higher value. My observation is that that's generally someone who plans to sell the property, but be that as it may, it sometimes happens, and we don't want to stop the taxpayer from their right to appeal for a higher valuation in the rare case. Mr. Chairman, those are the major points. Put together, they equate to a fairer shake for someone who disagrees with City Hall. That's my sponsor statement. I'm happy to have my staff walk through sectional analysis or take any committee questions.
Thank you. I don't see any questions at this time, so we will go on to the sectional. I'll mention we also have online for questions Sandra Mahler, the Director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. So Ms. Schlingheide, would you want to walk us through the sectional?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Kathy Schlingheide, staff to Senator Kiel. Section 1 of the bill says that a local assessor must use published standards for assessing. They may use the state standards as the default, or the local government can adopt standards by ordinance. Section 2 says the state will adopt by regulation default standards based on existing best practices for assessing. Section 3 says the lead local assessor must be certified by the State Assessing Officers Association. Section 4 changes the default to an appointed Board of Equalization. Local government can still opt to, by ordinance, to sit as the board. Section 5 makes two changes. The first change says the government may not raise the assessed value during the appeal process unless the property owner requests it. The second change says that the Board of Equalization must explain to an appellant their reasons if they disagree with a fee appraisal. Section 6 lets DCCD adopt by regulation the standards described in Section 2 as best practices for assessing. Section 7 sets an immediate effective date for the regulations process in Section 6. And Section 8 sets a January 1st effective date for the rest of the bill, so it will go into effect for the next text year.
Thank you, Ms. Schlingheide. Are there any questions from the committee? Okay, I'm not seeing any. I misspoke earlier. We only have one person for invited testimony, and that's Ms. Brenda Josephson, a Haines resident. Ms. Josephson, are you here? Would you please come forward and put yourself on the record?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Brenda Josephson, and I am a resident of Haynesboro. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak in support of Senator Kiel's bill, SB 242. I thank you for your service and for your dedication to Alaska and to our Constitution. Our Constitution lays out the ideals of equal protection under the law, ability to petition our government, and due process, and the right to fair and just treatment. These ideals are universally accepted by all Alaskans. We found conflict with these ideals with the assessment process last year in Haines. We had an uncertified contract assessor that was hired, and he enacted a new exotic hybrid mass appraisal valuation system that used a replacement cost new, combined with some sales data that created valuations that were not tied to market. The stated goal was to equalize property values across large areas of the community. However, the replacement cost new approach, as it was enacted in our borough, did not properly consider the specific specifications of the properties. For example, it did not give due weight to the physical and functional obsolescence of the buildings, and it also did not consider the desirabilities of some of the view lots and the homes that were more valuable to the second homeowner market. The result was assessments where some properties were assessed in excess of their full and true market value. And it created it appeared to create for our community a regressive taxation system where older buildings and medium and lower valued properties were assessed in excess of full and true market value, and the higher end properties were actually being assessed lower than the fair market value. This had the unfortunate situation of transferring a burden of taxation to those in our community that could least afford to pay for it. We had over 200 appeals that were filed, and unfortunately, when the appeals were filed, the people were not given due consideration on the merits of their claims. Appellants spoke out about unprofessional interactions that they had with the assessors, an unwillingness to address the errors, retaliatory increases, as well as willful misdescriptions of the properties when they took it to the Board of Equalizations. I regret that I don't have more time that I could go into the details of some of the cases, but just to brief on it, we had a case of the Canfields that they appealed an assessment of $864,000. They brought in a fee appraisal with an assessed value of $620,000, which was supported by a local realtor who had 26 years of experience in our community. The Board of Equalization remanded it back to the assessor, who came back with a replacement cost new valuation of $1.1 million, where he was put in a position to defend a value double of what his property was. The Smiths had appealed four of their parcels, and the assessor's office threatened to increase the parcels, the valuations, if he didn't withdraw his appeals. He went forward, and 90 minutes before his deadline for his Board of Equalization packet, he was emailed increases for all four of his properties, even though there was no site visit and no additional information to justify the cost. The Ormond appeal was a young lady was received a lower valued property, received an assessment in excess of the value, and she couldn't work it out with the assessor. She was forced to go in front of the public and disparage her mother's, her single mother's accomplishment, who built the house, in front of the public. And the most heartbreaking appeal was the Hoy appeal, which was a lady who lived in a home that was originally a house trailer. They built a porch, then they built a roof over it. They removed the trailer, built up some walls, never finished it. They lived in a quarter of it. And the assessor put a replacement cost new on it, considered it fair to average quality, average construction, just considered it 49% unfinished. Her assessment on the property, on the building, was more than double, and she was one who could least afford it. The community members actually took up a collection to help her pay the excess costs, which is unsustainable for our community when the costs are regressive like this. Our assembly serves as our Board of Equalization, so as these issues were coming ahead, we couldn't address them with anyone because of ex parte communications. We actually did reach out to the administration. The administration was supportive. Our borough administration was supportive of the assessor's actions. Our Board of Equalization slowly learned, slowly understood what was going on 15 minutes at a time. In the meantime, a lot of unjust actions occurred. I'm grateful for Senator Keel's bill, which addresses some of these major errors. It establishes the guardrails that we need with fair and transparent processes. And it's going to protect citizens' right to redress. The train wreck that happened in Haines last year, I believe, would not have happened if we would have had a Board of Equalization, because our elected officials had no idea. And they were sympathetic. It was actually heartbreaking for the whole community. I'm advocating that you support this. We need fair and just valuations.
Thank you, Ms. Josephson. Are there any questions for Ms. Josephson? Not seeing any. Thank you very much for your testimony. So we have, before we go to invited testimony, we do have Mr. Andreessen from the Alaska Municipal League available for questions. And I have a question for you, Nils. Can you hear me? Are you online?
Yes.
I guess my question is a pretty broad one, but does AML have a position on this bill?
For the record, this is Nils Andreasen, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League. Chair Dunbar, not at this point, I guess is my answer. We've definitely looked at it, and I really appreciate the sponsor's engagement in walking us through intent, outcomes, and overall how this could be implemented. What we're doing right now is working with our local governments who have assessors to make sure that what's here will benefit everybody and ultimately strengthen local governments.
Thank you, Mr. Andreasen. I will say, and I know if former chair of the Assembly, L.V. Gray Jackson, agrees as well, now Senator Gray Jackson, I was very glad as a member of the Assembly we had a Board of Equalization, so we didn't have to do this. But it was also very difficult to fill that board, to find the people that were willing to sit, because it's a very unpleasant sort of process. It's unpleasant to do it, to do the appeal. It's unpleasant to be the person hearing the appeal because it can be so technical and also obviously pretty people are fairly upset, you know. So I guess the one question I would have for you, Mr. Andreasen, if you could, when you reach out to your other local governments, the ones with property tax, you know, sort of ask them if they are able to create a Board of Equalization, sort of what their plan is to find the people to sit on it. Because I know it was a challenge in Anchorage, and I imagine it could be a challenge in other smaller communities. So just a question to bring back to your membership, if you don't mind, Mr. Andreasen.
Certainly, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so at this time, we are going to move on to public testimony. We're going to set 2 minutes. I apologize, but we have two other bills to consider today as well. So I'm going to set it at 2 minutes for public testimony. If I can, okay, that doesn't seem to be working. I will use my phone. but we will start here in the room, and then we have one person online as well. So we're just going to start in the room with Mr. Frank Bergstrom. Are you here? If you don't mind. And if you give me one second, please have a seat and give me 1 second. I'm going to set up a timer. We're going to do 2 minutes.
That won't be necessary.
Okay. Please begin. Please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Frank Bergstrom, Juneau, Alaska. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk. I fully support this bill that's before you and hope you make it law. And in particular, I'd like to point out that I went to a workshop last week put on by the CBJ about this very subject, and the assessor and the finance people there said that they work under the auspices of the IAAO and the AAAO, which are the certifying agencies or groups, whatever they are, that's been discussed before. Under the auspices of those two organizations, fee appraisals are conducted every day for bank loans and values of real property. If a homeowner elects to obtain such an appraisal as evidence to combat a potentially overly robust, shall we say, appraisal, it would seem only logical that since that is the tool by which the entire mortgage industry is based, and thus the value of homes everywhere is based upon those fee appraisals, why that would not be a definitive number in defense against a perceived over appraisal by the city or other taxing organization. But when that question was asked to the representative from the city and borough of Juneau, there was an equivocation that maybe not. There seems to be no logical reason why one group, an assessor, would use a tool and come up with one answer, and a professional certified private appraiser would come up with an entirely different number. So I hope that this bill could rectify that situation and that fee appraisals would be definitive defense for the true and full value under current market conditions for any residents.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good job. Any questions? I don't see any. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Mr. Joe Geldorf. If you could please come forward and put yourself on the record. Let's begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. Joe Geldorf, I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska. The municipalities and local governments of our state need a measure very much like this. Thank you, Senator Keogh, for bringing this. More importantly, the citizen taxpayers of our state need the kind of certainty that goes with this kind of legislation. The judiciary, I actually thank you for clarifying and laying out standards that are more appropriate when they have to wrestle with some of these issues. And last, lawyers and advocates that deal with this need your help in providing the certainty that this will bring. The critical need here is to make sure that the standards that are used are based on the tried and true valuation methods, that being market-driven, where you use comps. Cost is one, although it's usually used for replacement cost, cost new, and insurance people use that, and the income approach. There have been some real loosey-goosey assessors that have used kind of this weird hybrid, and that's driven some of this, but that can be dealt with. And I guess I'll leave you with one thing. I concur in what Mr. Bergstrom said. When in doubt, if somebody walks in with a fee appraisal that they have paid money on, the burden should shift back to the municipality to overcome that. And there's a little bit of element of rock, paper, scissors here. You know, the assessor stands, but if you come in with an appraisal, that starts trumping the assessment. Because the way they appraisers do that is long established. And so do some burden shifting here. And the last thing I'll say is the bullet will hit the bone here when if you delegate power to one of the agencies to adopt this methodology, don't do it loosely. Make sure that your delegation, that they have to adopt procedures that are grounded in the tried and true appraisal methodology, that being market comps, the cost, which is the weakest one to use probably, and because it's a replacement usually, and the income. So that concludes my 2 minutes. Thank you very much, but kudos for moving this along and helping all of us.
Thank you, Mr. Geldhoff. Next up, we have Howard Bierley. Barry, please come forward and put yourself on the record.
Yeah, Howard Bierley, a resident here in Juneau. And there, what I noticed in this bill, there's no limits. And my property tax went up over 40%. And in California, this isn't a new problem. In California, back in 1978, they passed Prop 13, which put limits of 1% on the assessed value. No government appraisal could go over 1% of the value that what you bought it at. Also, the mill rate was capped as well, and that is still in effect there. So, yes, this bill has some positive things, but there is nothing in there that says that they can't raise it 40%. And that's all I have to say. And you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Beery. Thank you, Mr. Beery. Next up, we have Davis Hannon. Sarah Davis Hannon, yes, please come forward and put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senators. For the record, my name is Dave Hanna, H-A-N-N-A. I live here in Juneau. I'm just here to support this bill. I want to thank Senator Keogh for bringing it forward. The testimony that you heard from Ms. Joseph there is just the tip of the iceberg. Several years back, we had the exact same situation here in Juneau with hundreds of appeals, much more egregious circumstances. I could regale you for a half an hour about this, and I've become somewhat of an expert on the subject and the rules. But the heart of this issue is there's no reason not to pass this. There's no fiscal cost. It doesn't require anybody to do anything that they don't already claim they're doing now. They all say they're playing by these rules, but the fact is, as many of them are not, and they don't have to, because state law doesn't require it. They give total due deference to the city assessor, who is not required to have any training, to use any methodology he chooses. And if he claims that there's confidential information there, he doesn't even have to reveal how he came to his conclusions. It's ludicrous. When you go to a Board of Equalization, Unfortunately, they've been trained by these rogue assessors and the state assessor who mysteriously resigned over some controversy here shortly ago. These boards get trained by people who are misleading them. And I could give you many circumstances where they were trained to do things in exact violation of the standards set forth by the International Association of Assessing Officers. It was horrific. And yet what some of us tried to introduce this evidence into the record, the Board of Equalization would not let us do that. This was most unfortunate because if you appeal to the Superior Court, they're only allowed to see what's introduced into the record. It was very frustrating. It was so egregious that the city finally agreed we would all drop our suits and they would pass an ordinance very similar to this legislation to make sure this didn't happen again. So I really beg you to bring this forward and give all the rest of the state the same sort of security that we got. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Hanna. Is there anyone else? Oh, I have Sean Green. Is there? Okay. Ms. Green, can you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Shannon Green. I'm a resident of Juneau. I live in the Valley, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. This is an issue that I'm very passionate about. I am a single mom with three boys here in Juneau and a 32-year disabled veteran. I applaud Senator Keel for bringing Senate Bill 242 forward, highlighting the problems and issues with our assessments and the need for some control measures and standards. I support this bill, but it doesn't go far enough. And so some things for consideration. We, the citizens, really need help and protection from some of the issues that have been brought forward thus far. I'm going to use myself as an example and my 2023 assessment. In evaluating my own home to find out what happened in my situation, I had to find comparables to my own home, and then I took it a little further and looked at my cul-de-sac because I'm trying to understand what was going on. Well, that led to me actually assessing 31 homes in my immediate neighborhood, just so I understood, you know, we have to pay taxes and, you know, this is the process. So when I looked at my assessment, my dwelling increased 50.5% in 1 year. In 2022, that was after an 8.1% in 2022 and a 2.2% increase in 2021. So from single digits to a 50.5% increase. That was a lot. So I had to dig in a little bit more. Following the philosophy that all ships rise on the same tide, whether you're a canoe or a cruise ship, a ranch house or a multi-level, because all are desirable in this town, I looked at the range of increases just on my street, on my cul-de-sac, and the increases in assessments for 2023 ranged from 7.7% for some people to 39.7% on my street. So I looked at a fellow veteran. His street ranged from 8.2% increase to 43.4% increase. So that didn't make sense to me. Of those 31 houses I looked at in my neighborhood, the two highest increases at 43.4% and 50.5% increase were both disabled veterans. So I found that to be curious. And I know this because that other gentleman worked for me when I was in the military.
Screen, your time has expired. Could you please...
Yes, I will wrap up.
Thank you.
I appealed and it was reduced, but I did go to the Board of Equalization because on the basis of unequal, excessive, improper, or undervalue, which are their requirements, I felt that it was unequal and improper to have the different percentages ranges, and I didn't understand. We sorely need controls on increased limits and mill rate limits because otherwise I feel like it wasn't being assessed in a fair manner. We understand that we're paying assessments, but the wide range of numbers just didn't make sense, and I'd be happy to share my data with you.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. All right, so next we will go online to Mr. Larry Noreen in Anchorage. Mr. Noreen, are you there?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for this. I appreciate this opportunity. And my background is in assessing and the Board of Equalization as a taxpayer, appraiser, the broker, in particular a taxpayer. But this is the first time I've seen in over two decades anything come forward to protect the interests of the taxpayer. Everything until then has, the pendulum has swung in favor of the assessor. And I'm glad this kind of brings it back to the center. Because we need both, we need good assessors and they need protection too. So I agree with much of what's been testified to, not all of it, but it was very good testimony. I would offer a couple other thoughts to amend in some way to assure the governing body, the taxing authority, assures due process to all parties. Now, that sounds innocuous and inherent anyway, but it's not really. And I think if that language of due process were inserted somewhere, it would be reinforcement for assessors, for board members, and appellants. And it could provide some required expertise in these hearing panels and board of equalization. Now, another thing, also you will see in this section, the verbiage, the appellant bears the burden of proof. Well, that sentence should just simply be eliminated. It was inserted just by Anchorage assessing interest to conform to local ordinance. But in a hearing, both parties have to bring evidence forward. And this language has provided a lot of misinterpretation by the parties that I've witnessed and still going on. So even though it seems innocuous, it would certainly help in the future for all parties. Then there's the verbiage that the only grounds for to appeal are unequal, excessive, or improper. Well, those are confusing, and it's fodder for attorneys and not understandable by board members and stuff. It should go back to the original language, and I was there at the original language.
Mr. Noreen, your time has expired. Could you please to wrap up?
Yeah, and the unequal, excessive and improper should go back to uniformity, equity, and fair market value. There's other changes that could happen, but let's hope that the taxing jurisdictions could and should review those. Thanks again for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Noreen. I'm not seeing anyone else online. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Okay, not seeing anyone. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony on 242. If the public has any written comments they would like to share, please send them via email to senate.community.an.regional.affairs@aklegs.gov. And I'm going to get that email address changed at some point. But for now, please send it there. Are there any additional comments or questions from the members? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we will now hold this bill for further consideration. An amendment deadline will be set at a later date, but if any members are considering amendments, please let our office know as soon as possible. So with that, I'm going to briefly take a brief at ease while we set up for the next meeting. back on the record. This bill. An amendment deadline was set for Tuesday, February 27th. We have received no amendments. Senator Keel, would you like to come forward and deliver any final comments on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Jesse Keel, privileged to serve Senate District B. Senate Bill 236 is to refresh the committee's memory, the bill to make two changes in state-declared disasters that do not receive a presidential disaster declaration. It sets the maximum state, raises the maximum state assistance to $50,000, and it allows a condominium owner to use disaster assistance they get to pay their share of a disaster-caused expense to the condo. Mr. Chairman, we very much appreciate the committee's consideration of the bill and hope you will move it forward.
Okay. Do any members have any questions for the sponsor? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Geisel, we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 236, version 33, LS1142, /UnAlaska, from this committee with individual recommendations and indeterminate fiscal note.
Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 236 passes from committee. We will now take a brief at ease while members sign the committee report. We are back on the record. We will now take up Senate Bill 161. To recap, we had an initial hearing and invited public testimony on January 30th on SB 161. Today, it is my intention to adopt a Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute, take questions from committee members, and then look to the will of the committee. With that, we will begin by taking up the committee substitute for 161. This change was requested by the bill sponsor after input from stakeholders. Senator Geisel, may I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 161, version 33 LS0971, /R, before committee as our working document.
I will object for the purpose of discussion and invite Senator Bjorkman and Laura Ace, looks like she might not be joining us today, to come forward and explain the summary of changes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Senator Jesse Bjorkman from Nikiski. An explanation of changes from version S to version R. These changes added new section 1 amending AS29.45.050 subsection T and renumbers the other sections accordingly. The new section amends the existing provision for municipalities to partially or fully exempt farm structures from local property taxes. It adds farmland to the allowed exemption, expands the exemption to include agricultural operations that are not producing food for humans or livestock, and updates the financial qualifications for farms to participate, and expands the allowed uses of farm structures.
Thank you. I should also note for the committee, we have online Sandra Muller, the director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. Are there any questions for Senator Bjorkman regarding the CS? Okay, seeing none, I'll remove my objection to adopting the CS as our working document. Are there further objections or further discussion about this bill, I should say? Okay. So seeing none, the committee substitute for SB 161 version R has been adopted as our working document. Okay. So any other discussion on this CS? Actually, I'm going to take a brief at ease if you don't mind. Back on the record, we've been joined by Ms. Ashe. Good to see you here. All right. Well, I don't see any other. Do you have any questions or discussion around this bill? Okay, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 161, version 33LS0971/R from this committee as amended. Well, wait a minute. It's not amended. Pardon me. It's a committee substitute. But from this committee with individual recommendations. An attached zero fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 161 passes from committees. All right, so now if members would please stay behind to sign the committee report. Do we have any additional comments or questions from the members today? Okay, well, thank you very much. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet next on Tuesday, March 4th at 1:30. And my staff will be in touch about our next hearing. The time is 2:18. Thank you. And this hearing of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.